You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. Brian, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
What are you now? 42? 43?
Getting up there. I'm 33 years old.
You're such a baby.
You said 42 like it's a bad thing. That's what I'm turning this year. In May, that's where I'm at. So if you're going to go sarcastic, you got to make it not affect
don't
me.
Don't hurt his feelings.
Don't hurt his feelings. You're such a baby. Well, did you do anything fun for your birthday?
Just ran around, hung out. We did a Bays Mountain Sunday, so that was a lot of fun. So we actually got we watched the Artemis episode on their planetarium. That was pretty cool.
Artemis Prime?
Yeah, Artemis Prime.
I remember him.
That's Optimus Prime. Artemis Fowl, Optimus Prime.
But it's the spaceship we talked about.
It was the spaceship thing. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was essentially a big commercial for it, but it was still pretty neat. The planetarium, that's how I want my bedroom set up. I think the chairs aren't amazingly comfortable, easy. But there's about a 25% chance I'm going to fall asleep every time I go in there.
Easy, Brian. This is a family show.
It's a great planetarium. It is.
Welcome to my planetarium.
That guy just gets up there, and he's got his deep voice, and there's stars up there. You just want to fall asleep.
Anyways.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Bays Mountain is one of those things that, you know, I think maybe we're not as grateful for it as we should be in our area, because there's a lot of stuff up there.
It's super neat.
I remember we used to go up there on field trips in elementary school and stuff, yep. And it was always one of the bigger ones. We were really pumped about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the boys might be doing camp there this summer.
I did camp there one summer. It was last year, mate. No, much earlier on, but it's a lot of fun. Get to hold the birds and
birds, the
raptors,
reptiles, yeah. The wolves, all that stuff that's up there.
Well, our brackets are pretty much busted for the basketball tournament.
Alabama let me down.
Houston forgot to show up.
Everybody let me down, but somehow I'm still in first. So
he's gotten so lucky that a huge chunk of us made terrible picks, and that he has a couple of teams that he got deep in the tournament. So
you're winning by losing less than us.
Yes, that's right. I would not be surprised if UConn won it all.
They're playing well.
Yeah, they play. When I saw them play the other night, they were pretty hot. Brian, you'll pick up on this because you were the one who said it last time about the 16 seed.
Oh yeah,
upsetting beating number 1.
Right.
You said it only happened one time in history, which was true at the time. But
did
it happened
happen again this
year?
Yes.
Yep.
What, FDU? FDU.
Yeah, I think that was it.
I don't remember what it stood for.
You know, and you had Princeton as a 15 seed win.
Also, really quick, everyone listening, I think that FDU's head coach looks like he would be like Robert's cousin.
Well, now that you say it, yeah.
So everyone, please do this. Just Google FDU's head basketball coach. Take a look at him. And then go to AFIAdvisors.com and look up Robert Ingram and tell me you don't see that resemblance.
We can do a poll, throw side-by-side pictures.
It's pretty much Robert with a shaved head is what it is. I think Brian's literally looking right
I'm
now.
Yeah, I'm looking him up. Yeah, that could be
no.
Robert.
Let me see. Who is that? He don't even.
It's not Greg.
Yeah, that looks like him.
Everybody kind of looks the same bald. Oh. No offense, Peter.
Oh, gosh. That's probably the harshest burn we've had.
Wow. I've never felt more like chicken. You know, everything tastes like chicken. Everybody looks the same bald.
Man. Once you're 42 and bald, let me know.
No, Brian, tell us how you really feel.
Wow.
I'm going to have to put a parental warning on this one.
so awful.
Anyways, I
hope other people did better than we did.
I'm sure they did, but I think a lot of people were kind of toast pretty early on this year. Yeah.
Now, it would be interesting to see how the mascots would have done against each other in a fight this year, if this would be the year to win it that way.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've talked about animals killing each other, I think it's important we have a couple of events coming up, rolling into April. I think we need to mention those. I know through the Kingsport Chamber, we have Brouhaha coming up.
Now, Josh, you're running part of that, aren't you?
I am. So if the event logistically ends up being terrible, I apologize. But that's actually set for Friday, April 21st.
Okay.
And you can go online on the Chamber website and get your tickets. The comedians are Brian Morton, Jasmine Ellis, and Kayvon. I think that's a cool play on words for Kevin.
Kayvon.
That's an instant don't church it up,
yep.
Peter.
Gotcha.
And there's a magician. It says strolling magic experience, Joseph Young.
Strolling, like he's going through the audience?
I don't know. People will just have to come find out.
I feel like that's a logistics question, Josh.
Okay, I was trying to remember this.
I'm not dealing with the talent.
I was trying to remember. There was a surprise winner of Best Pizza last year. Was it Barbaritos?
No,
Beef O'Brady's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which, good for them, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that out of all the pizza vendors that were there, I would never have said, I bet Beef O'Brady's has the best pizza out of all.
I actually have a Beef O'Brady story, just real quick. We were over there. We took Ben and Ian to Beef O'Brady's. Henry was doing a science Olympiad thing. And we get in there. We're sitting down. The waitress comes up and is like, what do you want to drink? And it depends, you know, on whether or not we do water or whatever we do. But sometimes they'll order High C Orange or Fanta or whatever it is. And I think it was he ordered High C, and she was like, well, which one do you want? And apparently they have all the flavors.
Oh, wow.
And so she was like, we've got cherry, we've got orange. She lists off four or five of them. He was like, well, can I have all of them? I was like, only our son would order a flight of High C at Beef O'Brady's. But she was very nice. She let him have he started with cherry, I think, and then the next refill he got orange, and then on refills he changed flavors.
But there you go.
I could just see them bringing out that palette with shot glasses of High C orange for the kids. It's like, wow.
And some water to, you know, cleanse your palate.
Cleanse your palate.
Science Olympiad.
Yeah, Science Olympiad.
That's cool.
Henry's doing Science Olympiad through his middle school. They competed in regionals. Few weeks back, came in high enough. I think they won regional, so they're going to state this weekend. And we're going down to Knoxville. We're spending the night. Something is going on in Knoxville because, like, every hotel room is booked. And there's no venue places. We tried to make reservations for the entire group of parents and kids who are going down Friday night at Calhoun's. And they basically said, look, other than our private room upstairs, which has a $700, $800 minimum, we have nothing for you Friday night. So there's something going on down there. But it's a fun event for them. The team made nationals last year. So they're hopeful this year that they can repeat that. And, you know, it's different competitions. There's probably about, I don't know, 20, 25 different events that you can compete in. Some are tests. Some are, like, he had to build a marble roller coaster that on the day of the event, they'll tell you get as close as you can to 45 seconds. And you've got a certain amount of time to adjust your roller coaster so that you hit that time. And it can be anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds, which, you know.
That's cool.
It's they've got detachable parts that they're putting in and out and trying to, you know, and right. Then you got to hope that you don't unlevel your entire thing. And, you know, and so it's been a, that one's been a, a challenge, you know, as you try to do it. But you get extra points. Like, they've got this loop that fires the marble, and because it jumps and leaves the track and gets caught and connected, they get extra points for that. But they've had to figure out all the science behind, you know.
That's awesome.
That, and they have to put in a report with the roller coaster and all that.
Jeez. Well, speaking of loops, let's loop back to events.
Oh, yeah, we do have another one.
That is cool.
Yeah, we have a – there's a Petworks event. Is that right?
Yeah, so Petworks has the Rhinestone Roundup on April 14th.
Rhinestone Roundup.
And if you've ever listened to Debbie Wagner talk about, you know, the need for Petworks to be supported, and that's what this event will do, it's really important, you know, for the animals in our area. There's like two people who go and pick up all the, you know, roadkill type thing. And you know, that's Petworks' job. So even though you think of them as an adoption type agency, you know, they've got other services that they provide our community. And, you know, there's just a tremendous need for food, for supplies, for all these things. And, you know, so that event is over at Meadowview and should be, you know, a real good time. And
their last event was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
I had a great time. A lot of people had a great time.
A lot of people had a great time.
I left before the ambulance showed up. So
that's how you know it's a good party.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but. Well, just funny joke. I know I've shared this with you all. We talked about, you know, the difference in attending events, parties at different ages. And it was like, you know, when you're young, you bust out of there whenever the cops show up. And now when you're old, you bust out of there when the ambulance shows up, which is essentially what happened.
Yeah,
that'll be a fun event. I'm sure we'll be there. Lots of folks should participate. I want to now shift to the main event.
Right. Things have been going on.
Things have been going on in the background. Silicon Valley Bank evidently had a little hiccup a week ago, a little oopsie. But I do, I want to read just a little bit to let people know a little bit about this bank, what they do, kind of their angle in the industry. But they were established in 1983. It was America's 16th largest commercial bank, provided banking services to nearly half of all U.S. venture-backed technology and life science companies. That's a really big deal, and that's also a really big chunk to be in. But it also has operations overseas, China, Denmark, Germany, several other places. So really quick, the assets, which includes loans, more than tripled, $71 billion at the end of 2019. To a peak of $220 billion at the end of March 2022.
Yeah. Largest bank failure since the financial crisis.
So we're trying to say these people are a big deal. It's not your local community bank.
Well, trying to say that they're a big deal, but also that they are very specific in what they do.
It's very niche.
Niche. You know, and that's a word. I'm going to get fixated. Niche, niche. I never know what's the appropriate
niche.
But we've had functionally through this little banking crisis that we're currently going through, three of the 50 biggest banks in the United States have been functionally shut down by the FDIC. And then we've also had one of the largest banks internationally be taken over through their regulator. Oddly enough, so Credit Suisse was taken over by UBS, and completely different reason. It was just a badly run bank. Lots of scandals over the last decade. But everything that's going on there, so for people who are worried that, you know, what's happened here is linked to that or that type of thing, it's a completely separate issue. But what really happened with SVB is, you know, banks make money by taking in your deposits and then loaning that money back out. But they don't loan all the money that they get in, and they have a certain amount of money that they're required to keep on their books locally. And so a lot of times they then take that money and invest it. And what happened was the money that they invested, they went out and bought long-dated bonds for some reason. And if you think about like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if you could buy a 10-year bond paying 1%, that was a good rate because interest rates were so much lower. And as the Federal Reserve has cranked rates higher and higher and higher, the value of those investments has dramatically fallen. And because the way the bond market works is we're always reevaluating what would that bond be worth if you bought it today. So if you bought a 10-year bond 3 years ago at 1%, you know, you have 7 years left to go. So what would a 7-year 1% bond be worth today? Well, if you can get a 1-year CD paying you 5%, why would you ever, you know, buy the 7-year 1%? And so functionally, they went out to the market to try to sell these things, were not able to sell them, disclosed that fact, and then everybody basically realized they don't have any money. And we had a good old-fashioned run on the bank. And all of the depositors came in and said, we want our money back. On top of that, because they were very connected to the tech industry, let's say you're a tech startup and you wanted to have $1 million line of credit that you were going to take $200,000 out each year. Well, because of what the Fed has done, they can no longer finance, you know, what they're doing. So maybe they went 200, 200. Okay, I need all 600 on my line of credit that I've got left all at once because I can't get money coming in because of the cost of capital from the Fed. So they got hit from like every single area. And it functionally shut the bank down. And it was closed by the FDIC. All the depositors were backstopped. Normally, you only get up to $250,000 per Social Security number on an account. But the Fed and FDIC backstopped all the depositors in a hope to stop the contagion from going across the entire country. Because a lot of, you know, businesses especially have more than $250,000 in these banks. And so those dollars are uninsured. And unless there's a run on the bank,
in Silicon Valley, it's about 90% of the money in theirs was uninsured because it was over that 250.
Right. So if you're a tech startup that has an extra $1 million in the bank, you know, you've got 750 of unprotected money that could potentially be exposed to just disappearing. And so the Fed came in and backstopped it. But before, you know, kind of everything calm down, you had Signature Bank go down in New York because they were linked to both cryptocurrency and Silicon Valley Bank. Not a great combination. And then First Republic, which has been very heavily linked to the tech sector as well, hasn't fully gone under. But you saw JP Morgan, Bank of America, all the big banks put a tremendous amount of deposits into that bank to, they put about $20 billion just of their own money as a deposit, not an investment, into that bank to shore it up. Those deposits are going to probably get turned into ownership of First Republic in some form or fashion down the road. But there's still concerns out there, you know, that other banks might fail. And there's been calls for the government to backstop depositors so that that money just doesn't disappear. But most people are under $250,000 in their deposits.
Yeah.
And so those people are
I'm
fine.
Close,
everybody is there. But, you know, what we've seen is people who, let's say you've got $20,000 or $5,000, it doesn't really matter the dollar amount, in a regional bank, and you're concerned, and you say, okay, well, I'm going to move all that money over to Bank of America or JP Morgan or whoever, one of these big banks. The cumulative effect of all the depositors under 250 moving is having the same effect. So I was talking to somebody the other day who has accounts at U.S. Bank, well underneath the limits, right? And U.S. Bank got named by one of the people who was part of the whistleblowers of The Big Short in 2008. And the earnings on U.S. Bank looked perfectly fine. But they got named, and so they were like, do I need to get my money out of the bank? And it's like, well, no, that's actually causing the problem to be worse. And you shouldn't notice any difference if the FDIC takes over your bank.
Your wife's calling.
Yeah, she is.
Well, I mean, so that's a good question. So if you have less than $250,000, you're saying you shouldn't be that concerned over it?
Not over your money in the bank, no.
So what? At what level do you need to start thinking, hey, I need to, you know, bondholders, stockholders?
Well, that's part of the problem that we're looking at. So if you're a shareholder of a bank that goes under, you could get wiped out completely.
Right.
If you are a bondholder of a bond, you could of a bank that goes under, you could get wiped out completely. But if you're just a depositor, 250, and if it's a joint account because of a, you know, spousal arrangement or whatever, that's 500, you know. So, and if you add a transfer on death, that actually adds, you know, another 250 on there. So it's definitely something that you should be aware of. We haven't had to deal with it in a long time. But these runs on banks sometimes come out of nowhere, and it is what it is. And so it's something to be very aware of. Very different than what we have at brokers, which is SIPC. Mm-hmm. And credit unions have something similar to FDIC insurance. It's like the National Credit Union something.
Yeah.
But it's the same dollar amount there at 250. SIPC actually protects against brokers going under and fraudulent things there. Because those stocks in street name are registered in your name. So for us, our accounts at TD Ameritrade, if you own Apple, TD Ameritrade owns Apple for the benefit of Josh Shores or Brian Bumman or whoever it is. So your name's at least linked to the securities. But if the broker goes under and they've got additional insurances, you know, well above certain, you know, amounts, that's a different story. Completely different setup. And you're not going to have a run on a broker. They're not holding people's assets that if that comes out, it's a problem.
I think we need to do a status check on Josh really quick.
Yeah, whoa. I had an out-of-body experience like halfway through Peter explaining that. I felt like I was looking down at myself and the table.
You know, and I get that. This is one of those ones I've thought a lot about this on how – to talk about, there's not a short way to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the short version, you know, go back to my favorite movie, Spaceballs. all right, the short version, do you? 250, that's your number. If you're under 250 in the bank, you don't have to worry about it for
don't
your deposits.
Don't worry about it.
Now, if it ripples through the economy and that's kind of, you know, a concern for the stock market, that's a different thing. But just as far as your money going somewhere, 250 is your number.
Per person.
Per person.
There you have it.
And that 250, you know, that includes CDs, that includes deposits, that includes, you know, anything that you've got in the bank, $250,000.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been talking a lot about people with is CDs. You know, we have the ability to get hundreds of different CDs and spread that money out. And
right. That's all just, covered by FDIC insurance.
And it's all covered by FDIC insurance. It's been interesting because you figure over the last few years, we've essentially been using bonds as a buffer to the stock market.
Right.
And they're actually able to make us money now. We just have all this bank stuff on, you know, going on at the same time.
It's definitely created an opportunity to buy.
Yes.
We talked about bonds.
We did.
Not long ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still going strong. They're still there.
They're still there. Update. Bonds are still there.
I think we're finally in a place, though, where you can lock in 5% on your safe portion of your portfolio for multiple years.
Yes.
Which we've not been there in over a decade.
Wow. Impressive. You know what else is impressive? Our koozies. They're popping up everywhere. I'm seeing so many people on Facebook, Instagram, showing off their koozies and their pictures, tagging us. That sounds like a cool idea. I think everybody should do that.
Outsourcing his marketing job. Yeah.
If y'all could just take over for a week.
Yeah, you're seeing them. You know, we were talking to somebody who had, you know, listens down in Florida, you know, that we gave one to. Shout out to David.
It's cool to mail them to people. That's a fun little gift. Like, here you go.
Surprise.
That's true.
Josh did make fun of me for using it, though, the other day. I took my entire McDonald's cup and shoved it down. So it pixelated and went wide. But, you know.
Our poor little bull looked just... He didn't look right. He lived in pain. He was in pain.
But my desk was dry.
But it was dry. That's it.
Sweet neoprene. But if you want a koozie, email us, connect@afiadvisors.com. We'll be happy to get you one. Follow us on all of our social channels and post those pictures. We want to see the koozies in action. I'll make sure that I can approve those pictures before everyone starts posting them.
You can post people that you think look like us, apparently.
Yeah.
Let us know. Apparently I look like all the bald men.
All the bald people.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah. I feel like, Brian, that's such a
I
comment.
I know, that was like, you know, don't insult your boss on the air first day back to work. Yeah.
Is that like...
It's just discriminatory.
There we go.
Yes. Go check out people that look like us. Go check out FDU's head basketball coach and tell me he doesn't look like Robert.
We'll find out.
Yep.
Robert's cousin. Well, that's it. I don't think we've got anything else. You guys got anything else?
I'm good.
Good here.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show? Or maybe be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thanks for all of the support.